Hey guys, this is Tony over here at Old Man on the Map. I'm so excited about today because today is our first episode, the first podcast we're shooting out. So I basically want to introduce myself, tell you a little bit about myself. I'm not going to get a whole lot of detail, but that'll come along all the different podcasts we put out, the episodes we put out during this podcast of Old Man on the Map. And we came up with that name, Old Man on the Map, because, you know, right now, there's so many people in different martial arts now that are older people who are wanting to stay active. All these people have different reasons for it, you know, why they're in martial arts or anything you're doing actively other than sitting on the couch. Because think about it, at this age, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, wherever you are, and you can be in the 30s, wherever you are in that age bracket, the society would tell you to take it easy, relax a little bit, or you reach that point in your life where you can retire, or you can take it easy because you spend all your time raising your family, you're working, whatever it is, but you still take the time to go out and work out, go out and do some exercising, you know, fitness, whatever it is, you know, martial arts. My addiction has been martial arts since I was 8 years old, you know, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. But, you know, this podcast is for men, women of all ages who are still in the game, who are still out there doing different martial arts or fitness or, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Taekwondo, Karate, Judo, Muay Thai, boxing, wrestling, you know, anybody doing anything active, you know, some shooting sports, some different kind of activity, as long as you're out there doing something. And I want this to be why we're still out there doing things when we're at the phase where we could probably take a little easy, or we've got a life full of injuries and bruises and painful things, and why we're still out there. Okay. So today's, like I said, today's episode is just going to be introducing myself and go over what I want to get from this podcast, because I've been talking about this for a while. Basically it was going to come out to be, I was going to use it as my diary, daily diary. Because we all go through things in life, and we get to certain points in our life, we want to ask ourselves, how do we get here, or what's going on? So I was going to use it as my, you know, just my daily diary, and maybe upload different episodes or whatever it is. But, you know, after thinking about it, I said, you know, why not just do a podcast, you know, do something I could talk a couple times a week or whatever it is. And hopefully I'll get to reach out or have some other people in my same boat or similar that reach out and want to do some things, you know, want to talk about their story, because I really believe, you know, everyone has a story. Everyone has a story that could either help somebody or, you know, or stop them from doing something stupid, whatever it was. But so anyway, like I said, my name is Tony Jones. And my story starts basically, you know, I started in martial arts when I was 8 years old, youngest of five kids. My parents got tired of me jumping off their furniture, because I don't know if you remember back in the day, we had Kung Fu Theater in Chicago. It was on channel 66. And so me and my friends are always, you know, jumping on stuff and, you know, trying to act out those Kung Fu movies and watching Bruce Lee. And it was just exciting, you know, born and raised the South Side of Chicago. So, you know, my parents just got tired of me tearing up their stuff. So my dad was like, he took me to a guy. Remember, it was like Chicago Health Club. I got to go work out with him one day. I was 8 years old. And he was just trying to keep me busy, spending some quality time with my dad. My dad was a great guy. And so he introduced me to this guy, and he became my first martial arts instructor, which was Sensei Smiley, which was kind of ironic that, you know, I was 8 years old, and come to find out my first class that he never took anyone under 11. So I guess because he knew my dad, and him and my dad had a relationship at the Chicago Health Club. And they were friends. And so he says, you know what, he'll give me a shot. And so this is not any kind of exaggeration, but for the first 3 years, I spent more time on a mat by myself, doing drills and all those things by myself, because he wouldn't let anybody really train until they're 11. Because his whole philosophy was, you know, you got to learn how to control your body before you can control someone else's body. And the art that was my base art, which was Kodokan Jiu-Jitsu, and it was very graphic art. So I spent a lot of time by myself, and I would cry and whine and go back to my dad. And my dad would, you know, my dad had a unique thing that he would always say every time I go to whine about it. He's like, oh, that's great. Oh, man, that sucks. Well, tomorrow will be better. And it was his way of telling me, I'm going back. So it was, man, back then it was 3-4 days a week, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was. It was intense workouts, man. And it was some great, you know, you look at things now and that was like child abuse. But I will tell you, I was thankful for those years that I spent by myself doing those things. And he would work out with me too. He would do certain things with me to get me, help me with my movements and all that stuff. Sensei Smiley Wood. And then when I got the opportunity to, I was almost 11 and it got me to the point to, I was able to work out with some other guys. And, you know, I was amazed at my movements and I went through the ranks pretty fast. I won't say pretty fast because I got my first black belt showdown when I was 16. So, you know, I guess that was 8 years. So, and it was great. It was great. I didn't understand. All I thought was as getting a black belt was it was, man, woo, you've arrived. And this is you're the baddest guy on the planet now, you know, but he had beat so much humility in us that I didn't walk around with my chest puffed out or whatever, but I got into some altercations, you know, a little fights and stuff, because I was that kid, you know, always looking to start, you know, trying to test myself. So I did that. So I didn't understand what a black belt meant other than I thought that I was the shizit. You know, at 16 out there. And it was, you know, I had bruises and jacked up hands and all these kind of busted lips all the time. And, you know, so it was a lot of fun. But then but one thing that Sensei Smiley put into all his students, he always said, listen, every art out there has holes, no matter what it is. There's arts out there. Everything has certain holes in them. So you find yourself a base art, an art that you love or something that you can do. That's just going to be your muscle memory. Things you're going to, if crap hits the fan, you may go to certain art, you know, go back to your muscle memory, your base. But he said everything has holes. So once you become a brown or black belt in one art, go out there and expand and fill those holes in your self-defense and in what you're going to do out there. So I've always took that to heart. So when I, you know, ended up going to college and I met Grandmaster Pak, I went in there, I did judo. And judo was crazy. Judo to this day still is one of the toughest arts that you ever get to learn. You know, you're basically saying you're hitting somebody with the earth. That was what it was back then. So the hardest part was getting thrown and getting up, getting thrown and getting up, getting thrown and getting up. So I did judo. I took judo. And then Grandmaster Pak at the time, he trained judo, hapkido, and taekwondo. So judo was first and that was an hour and a half. And then hapkido joined on the mat after that. And so I saw it a few times and I said, you know, some of the stuff is similar to Kodokan Jiu-Jitsu. And I talked to Grandmaster Pak and he said, yeah, go ahead and give it a shot. Cause I wanted to see if I can do it. And I tell you, it wasn't easy, but it was almost like it was my cool down after judo. So I did that. I became a black belt in hapkido, which was a lot of fun. I did taekwondo while I was out there. Judo was great. I still feel the movements of judo to this day, you know, and it was great. Judo, over my years, I've done so many different arts because I was always looking to fill those holes in martial arts, you know, whatever in my self-defense. But, you know, all along the way, I've always been in a martial arts somewhere. So when I, you know, after I left college, you know, I went out to Davenport. I met my wife at the time, met her, and all that time still, I was in martial arts somewhere. I was picking up different arts. I would always go into places in a certain area. Hey, what's this art over here? Let me go try that. Let me jump in and work out, because that's all I knew to do was to do that. So just trying to fast forward here. So, you know, I got into so many different arts. I've taught self-defense. I've taught women's self-defense courses. And back then we called it women's rape prevention courses, but I guess you can't say those words nowadays. I don't know why, but we're still trying to prevent that. But anyway, so I did all that and I took a break. I won't say a full break from martial arts for a while, but, you know, raising families, going out there working real hard, you know, trying to raise a family, put food on the table and all that kind of stuff. But I was still missing martial arts. So I don't think there's been a time that's gone by that, you know, in these last X amount of years since I was 8 that I haven't been on the mat somewhere sometime during that time, because martial arts was my everything. It was my comforter. It was my peace. It was my calming spirit. It was no matter what was going on in my life, I could always rely on martial arts. And that's what made it such a big part of my life. So I was doing all kinds of martial arts and everything else. And fast forward to moving from Iowa to Illinois, coming back to Illinois, which I never said I ever do, but we moved back to Illinois, took a job out here, and got to get, you know, and I, you know, when you're out there, you're getting older, you're getting fatter, you know, and so thought about starting a martial arts school. You know, why not give this knowledge out, which I thought I had great knowledge, which I did, you know. So we started a martial arts studio. That started going well, and it was a lot of fun. But I also knew still, because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was on the scene. It was, you know, you saw the UFC, the first UFCs and all that kind of stuff. It was intense and all that stuff. I remember in Davenport, Iowa, just a little story, I ended up meeting Pat Miletich. He wouldn't know me from Adam. I remember when I was in Davenport, me and my buddy were walking or going down the main street, Brady Street in Davenport. And we heard of Nick Tarpon School of Karate or whatever. So we walk over there. We're like, hey, let's go work out in here. See these guys, let us work out. And the gym was closed at the time, but he was there. He said, hey, I got a guy that just came back from Brazil training. You want to work out with him? And it was Pat Miletich. I'm like, sure, I'll work out with anybody. And you know what? I had a hole in my game because he balled me up in all kinds of knots and everything else. But it was a great time. So anyway, so going back to me moving out to Illinois and starting a school and having a family and all that stuff. And it was going really well. But, you know, always looking for other arts. But I heard about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu was on the scene. It was big, you know, UFCs and all that kind of stuff. I love watching them. It was just no holds barred, brutal stuff going at, you know, going fighters. So we enjoyed that stuff. So I looked around, and my only experience with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu over the years before I found the family that I'm a part of now was just, excuse my French, full of dicks. Because, you know, you walk on the mat and their shit didn't stink and rah, rah, rah. And, you know, and I'm like, man, so much testosterone. There's nothing wrong with that. You want a gym with testosterone in there where guys are brawling, doing their thing. But everybody doesn't have to be a dick. And it's you know what I mean? You know, I'm sure some of you guys are running to gyms like that all over the place. So I said, you know, I'm going to actually look for a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu place to go. And I went to a couple different ones and, you know, I went and trained at one and took my daughters in and we trained a little bit. And that was just a nightmare. I mean, my kids were, you know, whipping on the guy. They're semi-professional fighters or whatever it was at the time. But they were so jerky. I'm not going to throw any names out there because I'm not trying to bash anybody. But it was just an ugly scene. I didn't like it. So we ended up looking for a place and my kids didn't like it because, you know, they had felt like they had to fight for their lives over there all the time, two daughters. And it was great. They learned a lot. And they put some hurting on some grown men, which is great. You know, it was proud pop over there. But, so I said, I'm gonna actually look for a school. So I said, well, I'm not going to look for a school close to my school. I'm gonna look for one somewhere else. So I did some research. I saw Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but on their page, it was a husband and wife, just like at the time I was married. Me and my wife were at our gym. I said, you know, this would be a cool place to go learn. So I made an appointment with those guys. And I never go into a gym or anywhere, sneak around. You know, I'm a white belt, whatever it is. Even though it's a different art, you're a white belt wherever you start, but you still have some experience. So I told them who I was and I had a school. I want to come. And this is what I want to learn. I want to learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And when I walked in there, I'm telling you, it was really cool. I was embraced by these guys. Patty's the heart of that gym. Carlos is the growling bear in the corner, you know, but they're a great couple. They run it so well together. And, you know, I would tell you this. When I started over at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, over there at Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'm telling you, everybody there was really cool. Men, women, everybody was great. It was a lot of brawlers in there. Trust me, they were putting hurting on you every class, but they were teaching you as they were hurting you. Does that make any sense? And it was like a good family afterwards. We all just hung out, not outside of the gym, but after it was all over, you know, and they talked to me, what you did wrong here. Let me show you how to fix that. And it was great. And so during that time, you know, I think I was a couple stripe white belt at the time. And then at the time, my wife at the time, we were just having so many problems. I mean, it just like everybody's got problems. I'm not going to put mine out there, but everybody has problems. And so at that time, you know, my mind wasn't in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. My mind wasn't, I was there every day, almost every day I was there, but I was hurting inside because my marriage was over and Carlos and Patty didn't know that. And I was going through so much crap, man. I couldn't train. I didn't think I was advancing. I was just in that hole. And if anybody's ever gone through a separation or whatever, you know what kind of hole I'm talking about, especially as a man, because men handle things differently when it comes to divorces or breakups or whatever. Women, in my, and I'm generalizing here, but in my experience, so when I see women, you know, they go to the social media, look at me, I'm living my best life now, whatever it is. And guys, we face the demon. We go to that dark place and we go face that demon. And it takes us, I won't say longer, but we take breakups harder, regardless of why you did, you know. And so we faced that demon. And so when I was over there, I was going through so much stuff. They never knew. Carlos probably never knew. I just ended up sending them a text. It's like, you know, I'm not getting any better. I'm hurting. My body's hurt. Everything else. I need to pull back. You know, I need to focus on my gym. I gave all these reasons, but I didn't tell them the real reason was, man, my mind was gone. I was hurting. But you know, the cool thing about it, when I left, they never talked, you know, called me all kinds of names or anything else. And but you know, the cool thing was, every now and then, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. Patty would shoot me a text or a Facebook message or whatever. It wasn't every week. It wasn't every month. It was just, for whatever reason, it was the right timing for me that I would get a message. You know, hey, how you doing, Tony? How's life out there? You know, we miss you over here. Hope you're coming back. When you're coming back, you know. And I was out for a couple years. And that went on and on. And, but those messages, she didn't understand. You know, I'm sure it was, she was an angel sent by God at that time, that I needed to know that, you know, I wasn't in the hole by myself. I wasn't in this dark place alone. And it was dark. It was dark trying to start over at my age and everything else, the hardest part. But Patty was sending those messages and, you know, they would, she would invite me to their summer picnics and stuff. And no one talked bad. When I went over there, Patty gave me a big hug. Carlos went, what's up, dude? And Carlos, you know, gave you a little razzing, but that's what guys do. We razz each other. That's what guys are different than girls. You know, that's why guys, if you ever noticed back in the day, we could fight each other one day and the next day we're best friends again. Women, they fight and they don't want to talk to you ever again, you know? But anyway, so I remember Patty, I said something on one of their posts on Facebook, because I, or whatever the group or whatever it was, Facebook, Instagram, whatever I did. Patty was like, hey, good to hear from you. Hey, when you coming back? And when she said that, I threw out a random date, whatever date, I can't remember what date it was. I said, I'm gonna come back this date, you know, because I honestly, I was feeling better at home, adapting to this new situation in life. And she's like, okay, great. I can't wait to see you. And my mouth was open then. I set that date, but I put it, the date was way a few months down the road. But when that date started coming close, she, you know, sent a message. Hey, when you come back, this is the date, right? Can't wait to see you. Man, I was like, oh man, I'm on it. But now I have to go back, which I had planned on it. But that was the perfect timing. So when that day came, because I'm a man of my word, I went in the closet, grabbed my gi, put back on my white belt with everything else. I have no problem with being, every art you ever start, no matter what it is, you can start over your white belt, because you know one art doesn't mean anything. You start as a white belt. And so when I went back into Brazil, I was still a white belt, so I'm going back in as a white belt. And I tell you, I was nervous going back in. I'm not nervous about a lot of stuff, but that I was nervous. Not because I thought they were going to treat me any kind of any bad. It was just like I felt so bad for leaving the way I did without talking to Carlos and Patty and pulling them aside. You know, and this is a lesson for you guys. If you guys are going, if you have a tight team, tight instructors and stuff, you talk to them, let them know what's going on in your life. And trust me, they've probably seen it. They understand it, you know, express yourself to them. But I'm a private guy. So I was doing my thing. So anyway, so when I went back in there, everyone just embraced me and, oh my gosh, good to see you. They're taking a picture with me. Look who showed back up. And it was like, wow, I felt so good and welcome again that I jumped right back in the mat and right back on the mat and doing what I did, you know, trying to catch up. But you know, over the time, your body hurts a little bit more and everything else. So, but that was my story, getting back into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or going into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now. And I've been back into over at Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about, it's been over a year now, I think. But it's been so much fun getting in there. I'm back in there every day, training in the morning. And it's different, especially being at our age, you know, at our ages, you know, 40, 50, 60, whatever it is, then we have to train smarter. But I tell you what, my heart is still a 20-year-old out there fighting. Like I used to compete every weekend back in the day. My body's not there so much. Everything hurts. I have to train smarter now. But you know what? I'm very excited about it, because I think I'm the oldest guy in the gym now training, or I think so. And I'm training for Worlds right now. And that terrifies me. And not terrifying to compete. I've never been afraid to step on a mat with anybody, except for a couple of spastic white belts. I was like, I don't want to get injured before I compete. But we don't have any of those guys over at Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I'm training for Worlds because I remember asking my buddy Scott. He said something like, hey, you should compete. And I was like, thinking about it, whatever, you know. And I had asked, so I said to Carlos, I said, hey, I'm thinking about competing for Worlds. You think I should? He said, yep. Didn't even skip a beat. He said, yep, you should. And I said, oh, okay. I was hoping he was going to say, nah, give it a little bit of time. You know, you still suck, you know, which if you want to see someone to suck at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'm that guy. I'm the flopper. You know what I mean? They call me the tapper, baby. Not because I'm tapping anybody. I'm getting tapped out, and I'm not afraid to tap. So I've been training for the last few couple months, and I'm there every day. I try to get there Tuesday through Friday. Mondays, I go to my other buddy's gym, which is underneath Carlos and Patty, which is, remember that, if you're ever branching out from the school you are now to do work somewhere else, always ask your instructor, where should you train on whatever days and who they give their thumbs up. So I only go out there because on Mondays, Carlos and Patty at their place, they do no gi. And I don't do no gi at this point. So I do just strictly gi. So I go over at Lou's place over at Ace Training Center and train with his, get beat up by his guys over there on Mondays and on Fridays. So, but I'm training every day, which I'm excited. I'm very excited about it. You know, win, lose, or draw, I'm just excited about going out there competing again, you know, because now, you know, you move differently at this age. There's a lot of things you can't do that you used to be able to do. You want to do it. And the bad thing about where I am over at Lake County, the only bad thing I say is these guys don't look at me as an older guy. They look at me, a guy standing across the mat who deserves to be on the mat. So they're going to push you hard. They don't think I'm a grandpa over there, which I'm not a grandfather. You know, but they don't treat me as a grandpa. If I'm competing with a 20-year-old, that 20-year-old treat me like I'm a 20-year-old. I'm competing with a 30-year-old, they treat me like I'm a 30-year-old. You know what I mean? So they don't care about your injuries. You know, they do, but you know what I mean. They're trying to get me ready. So it's exciting, a lot of stuff going on. So I will keep you guys abreast of how that competition goes out there. Maybe I'll see you guys out there. I'll be wearing the shirts, old man on the mat. or you might see the old man on the mat twitching. But as of right now, I'm a blue belt. Yes, that's what I gotta tell you. I'm a blue belt on the check mat with Lake County Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm very excited about this competition coming up just to be out there, man. I really am, because I got to the point, you know, I enjoy watching competitions again. And I try to go to all the local grappling tournaments out here when Lake County is going to be out there competing. Any of their guys, I go. I love watching the stuff because I know these guys and I see how they're moving. And it's really cool. Really cool to see these guys compete and know that I get beat up by them on a regular basis. Really cool. Claim the fame. But anyway, guys, so I'm excited about it. Hope you guys are going to be out there. But like I said before, this podcast is not only for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's for any art out there, anything people are doing to stay active, physical, because I want to know your story. I want to understand why you're still out there, you know, playing golf at your age or tennis or, you know, any form of martial arts. I can only tell you why I do the martial arts or why I do it. You know, I do it for my sanity. I do it to stay relevant in my mind. I do it to keep, gives me peace. It gives me joy to be out there on the mat working hard and sweating. And honestly, when I say keeping up, I don't mean keeping up like speed and all stuff, but to be able to compete and be, not compete, but be on the mat with some of these brawlers out there, and I'm on the mat with these guys. I'm just not laying on the corner. Trust me, I take a lot of breaks. But anyway, Carl's won't let me now. But guys, I want to hear your stories. I think we all have something that we can give out to the world, something positive. It may be negative too, but you're going to flip it to positive. Some negative things you may be going through, and what has helped you? What has helped you? We've all have demons in our closet. We all have darkness we're dealing with. You know, mine right now, all, you know, everything mine is the, you know, have been having a family, doing everything in your family. Your family is your identity. And then after, 28 years of marriage, it's over. You know, not the family, but, you know, the marriage is. And that's a hard thing to start over. So trying to get a new identity out there in life, that's my struggle now. So we all have a struggle. Other than some physical things, I'm talking mental struggle. What can I do to keep moving forward. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is my thing right now. It's my piece, the friendships, the camaraderie, just going in there and burning it off, sweating and working out. And you don't have to think about anything. It's just, I'm going to work out today and I'm working out. You know what I mean? They say when you have things on your mind, your stress on your mind, working out at the gym, lifting weights, running, martial arts, whatever it is, going to the gun range, whatever it is, whatever it is going to help you get all that off your mind. And mine is martial arts. It always has been. And it's martial arts to help me with my mental capacity. You know what I mean? Keep me going mentally. But anyway, guys, I wanted to do some more name dropping on some people who've been in my life during this whole process. And I'll do that on the next podcast or the next episodes coming up. But this is one I just want to introduce myself to so you know what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast and where we're trying to go with it. And I think, guys, you know, what they say, leave comments and everything else. Let me know what you want to talk about and we'll talk about it. You know, let me know who you are. We'll get you on a podcast. We'll do one together. No, you don't have to be some famous guy out there doing it. I don't care who you are. You can be somebody's mom or dad and want to talk about why you're trying to stay fit, why you're trying to stay active out there, you know. But I'm excited about it, guys. I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys, looking forward to talking with you guys or reading your comments and getting some feedback from you. So like they say, like, share, whatever it is, because I know nothing about technology. I got a good friend who's helping with this. I know nothing about this stuff. So I just know I hear people saying like and share and all that stuff on it. But anyway, guys, hey, it was great getting to talk to you guys for the first time. It's great introducing myself so you know who I am and you know who's on the other side of this mic. And I can't wait to talk to you guys. So as I always say, guys, I'll see you when I see you. Take care.